This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Phil Baraboo. He's director and producer of the film Unbranded, which opens this weekend at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary.
So this is a really cool, really fascinating documentary. It's like a road trip movie with four guys going on the open road, traveling from Mexico to Canada, only they're on wild horses. They're on Mustangs that they've adopted and trained. How did you come across this story and start to make a film about it?
Well, this story all started with Ben Masters, who's the lead character of the film. And it was his idea. Kind of the quick story is he rode the Continental Divide Trail in 2010 with some friends. And because they were 20 years old and didn't have a lot of money, they adopted some wild Mustangs, which you can get for about $150 to adopt. And what they found on that trip was these horses were incredible in the mountains. They're really sure-footed. And they basically outperformed their other horses that they had spent more money on. And Ben also learned on this trip, he kind of learned more about the issue of how many of these Mustangs are in holding facilities, how much are out on the public lands, and kind of this debate going on. And that's where he came up with the idea of, you know, he loves adventure, so he's like, I want to this time ride from Mexico to Canada, do it with all Mustangs, to kind of prove to people how great these horses are, and then to just also bring up the topic and make people aware of what's going on in the West. And so he called me. I live in Montana. All the four characters are from Texas. And he was looking for outdoor filmmakers and came across my name. And so he told me this crazy idea, and I thought it sounded amazing. And let's do it. Let's do a Kickstarter, because I didn't have the funds myself to just, you know, pay for this huge trip. So that's kind of how it all started, and we had a successful Kickstarter and went from there.
Now, was the crew, I don't imagine it was a very big film crew, but nevertheless, you had some kind of crew. Were you doing the trip? Were you riding the horses along with the four guys?
Yeah, I was. So the trip was primarily in the backcountry, so we couldn't take a whole ton of gear. So we really only could have one cameraman out there at a time. You really had to be the audio guy, the director, the shooter, everything. And then I kind of split that role with another guy named Corey Kazmierik. And so we'd do about 2 weeks a time and then switch back and forth. So I did about half the trip myself. We also had to ride Mustangs. And for Corey and I, we didn't know how to ride horses before this trip.
Oh, my goodness.
Huge learning experience. We got broken in ourselves. So it was the first week and month was brutal, and we kind of learned as we went, and, you know, we had to learn.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting on so many levels. I mean, the relationships among the four guys who are in this situation together. I mean, they're all incredible riders and horsemen and adventurers, and there's kind of a sub theme about how they're extending their adolescence a little bit so they don't have to start to get real jobs and things like that. But there's also so much about horses and about, for example, the politics of grazing, of public land, and the politics of horses. One of the things that's so hard to understand is, I mean, these are incredible horses. They because they're wild horses, they are able to do a trip like this that you wonder whether all horses could do. Why are there not enough adoptions of these horses? These horses are being rounded up by the BLM, and yet they're in holding pens. If they're so inexpensive, why isn't the whole world flocking to adopt them?
Well, I think one big reason is people just don't know about them. I think everyone's heard about Mustangs. I live in the West, and I didn't know the situation that was going on. I didn't know that there was holding facilities for them, that they were rounding them up. I had heard a little bit about that, but I think that's one reason. And another reason is it's not as easy as just adopting them and you have this, you know, train it a little bit and you have this perfect horse. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work, and we kind of wanted to get that point across too. Like, it's not the answer to the problem is to adopt these animals, but it helps. And if you are going to do it responsibly. And they offer at these facilities what they call a trip training program, where they have these tip trainers that take them for 30 days and put the initial, you know, work into these horses because they know how to work with them. And then they pass them off from there. And it took the guys, you know, 4 to 6 months to get them ready for the trip. And even that first month, they were still, you know, there's some of them that are still pretty wild. But once you put that many miles, we're averaging 20 miles a day, and they got real comfortable with all of us and the group that they were in. And they got pretty broke quickly, and they were awesome horses for the trip.
Tell us more about the situation of wild horses in the West. I mean, there's laws that allow them to run free, and then there are some people who say they're being managed to extinction, and other people who say there's way too many of them because of the law that lets them run free.
Right. Well, I think it's all in certain areas. So public land, you know, they're on BLM block management land. They manage these animals, and it's all in these different sections. So say this one area, they may be doing great, and there's plenty of grays, and they're at a good population. And this other area may be a desert-like environment, which is like a lot of environments, you know, out in the West, and they don't have a lot of food and water or whatever. And what there is there, they eat them out of house and home. So it's kind of per area, and when they find these areas where they're really decimating the land, they try to bring them down to a number they feel is manageable. So, you know, I think it's just from whatever side you look at, and we're not coming from any side. So a lot of people, if you want to look at the advocate's point of view, they feel this is a truly wild animal. Why does humans need to manage them? So let these animals be free. You know, on some parts where they say they might be managing them to extinction, that could be they're just taking too many numbers off certain places, that they should be just let them populate, let them manage themselves. So, and then you also have the struggle with the ranchers, because they also need to share these lands with the wildlife, with the wild Mustang, for their cattle to graze. So, and they have to get these permits to graze their cattle. So it's kind of this battle for all these resources. But what we found with all of them is they all have the same characteristics. They all have the same passions. They all love the horses. They all love the land. They all love wildlife. And so they really need to find a common thread or a way to come in the middle to help with this issue.
We're talking about the documentary Unbranded. Now, these four young men, all graduates of Texas A&M, who rode these wild, well, not wild anymore, I guess. I mean, they had been trained and were ready to go, or pretty close to ready to go, when the trip started. How did they plan this route? I mean, if you're going to ride horses from Mexico to Canada, you can't just sort of like get on the horse and go. It takes an awful lot of planning, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So Ben Masters, like I said earlier, is the main guy, the mastermind, we're calling him, behind this whole idea and this trip. He spent 2 years routing this. And he wanted to make sure that it went through the most rugged wild terrain in the American West, all the iconic parks and, you know, Grand Canyon, Yellowstone Park. We ended in, you know, at the Canadian border in Glacier National Park. So, and he wanted to hit all those stretches in between those main areas everyone knows that are just the most wild, rugged terrain, to just show what we have out here and the fact that as Americans, we do have this stretch of land that we can ride a horse from Mexico to Canada. I think a lot of people don't know that. Even though, you know, we still do have to go through towns. We still had to ride on roads here and there, but the majority of the ride was in the backcountry. And it's a huge logistical, like, to for him, not just him, but us planning, like, how to shoot this and like, where we can meet guys to help us with supplies and all that stuff. So it took us, just ourselves, and how to shoot it along this route he planned, probably 6 months to plan.
And, of course, you need a lot of support along the way. I mean, the horses eat and drink as they go, but the guys need food. And, of course, veterinary care is also an issue. Was that all planned in advance as well?
It was. It was. So for the food, their parents all rallied together. So there's the four main characters that all just graduated college. And they split it up between their parents of certain sections of the trip to basically, they got all the food together. They just had to ship it out to certain post offices, food drop-offs, basically. And so we would stop off average about every 10 days, pick up the food, let the horses rest for a couple days, and then head back out. And so we kind of used that stop as well as a camera crew to charge batteries, dump footage, all that type of stuff, and then head back out on the ride. Ben also did a good job of, he found a lot of dude ranches and different places he could stop along the way, told them their plan, and of course every ranch he called was really excited about the trip, brought us in, and usually they had a veterinarian or something like that. And so we'd spend a couple days. They got the horses shod once a month, so five times over the entire trip. So all that really worked well, and that's where all that planning, not just the route, but like how we're going to get food, how we're going to get these vets and everything, and it all worked out really well.
What would you say were the most challenging moments for you as a filmmaker, and what were the most challenging moments for the four guys?
The most challenging for to film this journey for Corey and myself was by far just dealing with horses. Like I said, we didn't know how to ride horses before this trip. We were thrown in there as green as can be. All the work we do is in the outdoors. So we get that. We can camp. Like a lot of our trips are out in the backcountry, stuff like that. But now the big difference is we have a horse that depends on us. So, you know, we have to saddle our own horses. We have to, you know, we try to ride ahead to get shots. And those first week or the first month when we didn't know how to ride that well, it was really difficult. And so I'm used to just having my backpack and tripod on me. I can do whatever I want, but now I have this horse. And so we really, it took a while. The first month was a huge learning lesson, and we kind of figured it out as we went along. So I think you can see that in the footage too. Like it gets better and better as we go because we started figuring out how to really do it. And really what we found is to just be on foot, let the horses, because they like to be together. And so we let our horses just trail the rest of the pack, and we would run ahead, get shots, they would pass us, and then we'd catch back up to them. So it was really a lot of running to make sure that we didn't hold them up either. For the guys, I would say the biggest challenge was just doing it day in and day out. It probably sounds like a dream trip, which it was in a lot of ways, but it's a ton of work. They have to, every single night, they have to set up camp, make dinner. You know, we get there just before dark or in the dark every single night. Next morning, we have to get up early, tear down camp, pack up the horses, which takes 2 to 3 hours every single day. So, you know, every 10 days, we take a day or two off. But while they're out there, it's just there isn't any leisure time. You know, we would squeeze in fishing sometimes when we can and stuff like that. But I would say just the daily grind really started to wear on them.
Did it seem to you like they changed, like they learned something from doing this trip? I mean, it seems like it could be almost a coming of age thing, although thank goodness nothing really, really horrible happened to them. We don't want to give away too much. I mean, some things happened to the horses, but did you feel like they were different people by the end of the trip?
I do, yes. I believe they learned a lot. I think it's definitely a coming of age, and that's what we thought it was going to be starting this. I mean, they're right out of college. They have all the confidence in the world. They're not scared of anything, just like anyone else at that age. And, you know, you'll see in the movie, they do make a lot of mistakes. They're cocky in some ways. And they also, I think, what was great about them is they would admit it, and they would learn from those mistakes and move on. And you'll see the personal relationships between them on the trail plays a big factor. And in the end, I know, especially for Ben Masters, what he learns about the whole journey, if what he started out on day one, what he thought was the point of it, and at the end, might have been something different. Yeah, it's definitely a coming of age, and they learn a lot.
And meanwhile, it's also, first of all, it's really beautifully shot and beautifully edited. And it's also very funny at moments. Like, there's this moment, I don't know where it came from, or I didn't quite get where it came from, but a donkey joins the trip. And so you've got all these horses and then this donkey at the end. And it's hilarious. And I became very fond of that little creature.
Yes, Donkita.
Yeah, Donkita.
Yeah, that was Ben Samer, who is another character. The wild horses, there's also wild burros out there. And so we learned about them, too, and he asked one of the guys that works for the BLM if he had any, you know, a wild burros or something we could add to the trip, and just more for fun and, you know, to have something different, not to pack, to throw weight on the donkey or anything, but to just have something different or fun for the trip. And the guys thought that this donkey coming was going to last a week tops. Well, we got Donkita about halfway through the trip, and she powered the entire thing. She mothered up to the group. She, whenever horses would split up, she would start hee-hawing around, make sure the whole pack train would get back in line. And she was also like, she was like the trip puppy dog. Like when we were at the fire, she would come up to us and you would pet her. And she was just like, she really added a lot for all of us. And for filming, you know, for us, we're day in and day out, it's like it's scenic everywhere we're going, but it kind of gets to be the same every day, and you're like, okay, what are we filming out here? We need to change it up. So all of a sudden, the donkey comes, and it was a blast for us to film. The donkey, you'll see in the movie, this great section of where she doesn't know if she wants to be a part of this crew, and you literally see her make the decision of, all right, I'm going to follow these guys.
What is your hope for this film?
You know, my hope, or our hope was a few things, you know, of just, like you said, with the Mustang story, bringing the issue to light, getting people to think, to talk about it, to get it out there, to give all sides a voice. And I feel we did that. And to also show the public lands we have. And also we wanted to make this from day one, like make this a broad subject of, like, we wanted this to appeal to anybody, to not just people that love horses or backpacking or whatever. We wanted to make sure that anyone could watch, families, kids, or whatever. So, you know, we've been very fortunate within the film festivals that we've been to that we've gotten, I think, 5 now audience awards. And for us, that's the best award you can get, because it's not a jury of a panel of people, just like 5-10 people. It's the people that are watching it, and they like that film, and they pick it themselves. So we actually just got back from Banff Mountain Film Festival this past weekend, and we got the audience award there as well. So that is the greatest accomplishment we could get, and we're super proud and happy to be getting that.
Philip Baraboo is director and producer of the film Unbranded, which opens this weekend at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, here in Santa Fe. Unbrandedthefilm.com is the place where you can find more information. Philip, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope everyone enjoys it that gets a chance to see it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.